The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Ian Guider from the Business Post is with us, but I'm going to start with Nancy Fallon from KPMG Tax Partner, because most people, I think, look at their own personal taxes very first thing out of the budget. And tell us about the cut to the USC and what it's going to be worth to people.
Yeah, so there's two cuts to the USC this year. So first, a change to the bands in which the 2% rate applies. And that's just to take account of the fact that the minimum wage has increased from $12.70 to $13.50 in 2025. So that's just to make sure that those on the minimum wage don't pay the extra bit and the now 3% rate. And the other cut is as well from the third rate band, which is to drop it from 4% to 3%. So that could have a significant impact depending on what level that's charged on income between the level of 25 grand and 70k. So depending on where you sit in that, that's the impact.
Over 70,000, what do people pay?
So then you start going up the scale to 5 to 8, and then there's a surcharge of 11% for people who are on self-employed income or unearned income.
Okay, so that is the USC, but that's not the only income tax charge. What else has been done in relation to income taxes?
Yeah, so there's a touch of deja vu in terms of what we've seen before. We've seen an increase in the level of income at which taxpayers pay the marginal rate of tax, so from 42,000 to 44,000. And we've also seen an increase in the core tax bands, or tax credits, I should say, so an increase in the personal tax credit of €125 up to 2,000, and an increase on the PAYE credit and the earned income credit as well up to 2,000. So if you take...
Does that make much of a difference?
Well, I suppose if you look at them in the round and you take somebody who's earning an average salary per year of about 50,000, and you take account of the change in the band, the change in the USC rates, and of course the change in the core tax credits, that's going to mean about €859 back in their pocket. Equally, somebody on the minimum wage, and you take account of the increase in the minimum wage, that's about €1,400 that they're going to be better off next year.
There's a number of credits as well for specific types of individuals or families. So run us through what's happening with those, please.
That's right. So an increase in the home carer credit from €1,800 to €1,950. An increase in the single person carer credit as well from €1,750 to €1,900. Increases in the incapacitated child credit from €3,500 to €3,800. An increase on the blind person's tax credit of €300, which the Minister was very clear to call out has not been done in quite some time. And also an increase in €60 in the dependent relevant tax credit.
Okay. Was there also something in relation to employee bonuses? A lot of people get a sort of a voucher or a gift card at Christmas, for example, as a bonus. And I think, was it up to €1,000 could be tax-free on that?
That's right. It's kind of a small benefit exemption, and you would often find that companies would give vouchers or perhaps they were trying to recognise a period of time that the employee had spent in the company or something that they'd won a prize for. So that was €1,000 before, and you could only give two benefits. So there was kind of restrictions on what you could do. The Minister has increased that now to €1,500, and it can be up to five benefits. So that just gives greater flexibility.
What do you mean by five benefits? That can be done five times over the year.
Exactly.
To accumulate to €1,500.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
And does it kind of be gift cards, or can it be other things?
No cash, but it can be gift cards. So usually vouchers will be given.
Okay. Tell us about inheritance taxes, because this is something which has come up as an issue maybe for a minority, but I know for the listeners it seems to have really caught the imagination.
That's right. I mean, I think partly what's driven this is the value of houses, and I suppose the view, very much the Irish view, that people should be able to pass on their house to their children and not have significant, I think, inheritance tax that will go along with that. So we've seen for the first time since 2016/2019 an increase in the capital acquisitions, I suppose, thresholds that apply. So for category A, which is broadly to a child, it's gone from 335,000 to 400,000. Category Group B, which is both brothers and sisters, siblings, and then lineal or ascendants or lineal descendants, that's gone from 32,500 to 40,000. And then category C, which is really everyone else, has gone from 16,250 to 20,000. So I think that's a good step forward, and really just reflects an indexation of where values have gone to.
Okay, listener says, read the USC cut. If you earn above the 70,000 salary, does this cut not apply?
No, it does apply. So you'll still get it on your salary that is paid in that band. So you pay it on a banded basis. So the first 27,000 as it is now to 70,000, you'll still get the lower rate of 3%. And then you'll move in when you go over the 70,000 into the higher rate. So you absolutely will get the benefit.
Okay. Ian Guider, you've been looking through all of the various, well, I suppose, social welfare measures, but they're not just to people who are in receipt of social welfare in the maybe conventional ways, pensioners or the unemployed. There are payments assumes for everybody or every household in the country, are there?
These are the one-off measures for the cost of living package that Pascal Donoghue announced. And it's not just that €12 per week in the social welfare rates that Ben announced in the news fair. There is going to be €250 in energy credits. One will be paid later on this year, another in early 2025. If you are in receipt of child benefit, which most people are, they will get a double month coming up later on this year. And if you're on any of the social welfare payments, the weekly payments, there will be a double week paid towards the end of this year. That doesn't include the Christmas bonus. So we don't have a date on that yet, but they are saying...
So there's two bonuses this year in child benefit and in the Christmas bonus for social welfare recipients.
Yep, that's coming up. We don't have the dates for them just yet. They will probably be towards November and early December. If you're on the winter fuel allowance, well, there's going to be a €300 lump sum payment being made. If you're on the living alone allowance, there is a €200 lump sum being paid. If you are receiving working family payments, there's a €400 payment being made in the run-up to Christmas as well, on top of all the other payments out there. If you have the foster care allowance, there'll be a double payment. And for some other people in other welfare categories, so think of carer support grant, they're also going to get a €400 lump sum as well. So there is a substantial one-off package being announced. Most of these are being paid, as they say, in winter 2024, so in the run-up to Christmas or in late November. And that's on top, as I said, of that €12 flat increase across all the social welfare payments.
Then there's things as well for parents, aren't there, in relation to... there's a baby bonus in the new year, isn't there, for the newborns?
Yeah, that's €460, if I have it right in my notes here, that's going to be paid. So if you had a baby already just in the last 24 hours, sadly, you're not going to get it. You should have...
Do not induce the baby on the 31st of December. Wait till the following day to get the payment.
Hang on as long as you possibly can to get advantage of this payment. But there are...
Nancy, can you imagine people doing that?
I'm sure. Or not.
I'd say there's lots of people in the rotunda who are very disappointed right now. But there's so many other different
schemes. There's things like school books as well going to be extended to the end of Leaving Cert, and hot meals for every primary school child.
Yeah, there are. And there are so many different things in here. I don't have the full range of cuts to college fees in front of me, but I think there's €1,000 coming off registration fees for college if you're going into apprenticeship schemes.
Sorry, on the university, that's interesting, because the 3,000 registration fee again this year is going to be reduced to 2,000, which I think will come as a disappointment to some people who thought it was going to be reduced further to 1,500.
Yes, but it does also apply to those taking up other training schemes, apprenticeships and some other further education schemes out there as well. So that will be a boost to a lot of people, Matt, who don't go on to college but do go into further education and have to pay out fees as well. And I think the state examination fees are being waived again this year.
Are there going to be any means testing for any of these payments?
No, Matt, we don't do any means testing of any of these payments. And if you look through the cost of them, I gave you the energy credit cost, which goes to everybody regardless of your need.
Well, sorry, it goes to a household, to the bill holder. So it doesn't matter if you've two people working in the house, it's only the person whose name the bill is in who gets it.
Whose name is on the bill. And of course, Matt, there are people out there who are on substantial salaries, who do receive bonuses every year, who will get this money. So it's not being means tested. And there are also other sweeteners in there as well, because we know the VAT on electricity and gas bills was due to increase from 9% up to 13.5%. That has now been extended, that 9% rate, all the way out to next April, and that will mean a reduction in bills, or it's the same, you won't pay that increase coming into effect. That was, I think it was coming into effect today or later on this month. So that, again, that charge is being waived.
On taxes as well, Nancy, what about sort of the old reliables such as cigarette, alcohol, petrol and diesel, and what we might call the new reliables, which would be the e-cigarettes?
Yeah, that's right. So I suppose we knew that something was going to come on the e-cigarettes. So we've seen that there will be, I suppose, a tax on those. It won't come in until later in the year. It's essentially a form of excise tax, and it will be essentially at 50 cent per milliliter of e-liquid, I think is what it's called, is the name is what it's called. So I think broadly they tend to have 2 milliliters in a vape. So that costs €8. That will cost essentially 9.23 now when you take account of the rate of excise and then also the VAT on top of that at 23%.
Okay. Listener wants to know, when does the free HRT come into effect? Presumably in 2025, because other people want to know when things like some of these tax measures like the employee benefits, presumably that's next year rather than for this Christmas.
That's right. That's next year. There are some that are coming in for this year. For example, the renter's tax credit, which is prices being increased by 250 euros. That's going to come in this year, but most of them will come in next year.
Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post, has joined us. And Daniel, if there was any doubts about a general election taking place this year, have they been well and truly dispelled? Because for the life of me, I cannot remember ever so much money been thrown around in a budget, particularly when an election is due.
No, the amounts of money we're talking about, Matt, are astronomical. They're huge. If you think of it, gross spending will go to 125 billion euro. The time of the crash, gross spending was in around 60, 65 billion. So the size of the states and coffers has doubled in 11, 12 years.
That's extraordinary.
It's extraordinary. As we were discussing, as Ian was pointing out during the ad break, if you strip out the windfall aspect of money and you strip out the Apple money, the government's actually running a deficit. And it ran an underlying deficit last year. So we are spending good money after bad here, and not very wisely.
Well, that's true. I mean, the government is saying this budget amounts to 10.5 billion, and I'm taking this from some excellent tweets from your colleague Daniel Murray in the Business Post. So they're saying it's 10.5 billion made up of 8.3 billion tax and spending, and then the additional 2.2 billion cost of living package. But he makes the point that it's leaving out an enormous amount of things. Yes. So just go through those.
So you've got the extra 17, you've got the 17.1 billion infrastructure money from Apple and AIB money. That's all booked, or will be booked, if not this year, then next. As you said, you've got the 1.5 billion that's in the National Training Fund, which is going to basically plug the deficit in third level college and do other things as well. You've got a 4.5 billion contingency fund on top of that as well.
Sorry, what's this contingency fund? And is this, at this stage, it may be contingency, but is it temporary or is it permanent?
See, it's been temporary for a number of years now, so it's all but permanent. And in fairness to Daniel Murray, my colleague, he has been out in front on this all the way along. You know, up to a couple of years ago, we were talking about the budget, and Daniel very, you know, quite, so hang on, but how many different budget pots are we now talking about? There was core, non-core, now you've got this, you know, windfall aspect of it. The actual overall envelope, as we reported, is 28 billion. The amount of money that was announced today is 28 billion. Now, some of that's over a number of years. This is fairy tale stuff. Like, you know, the sub-editors of old would be, you know, licking their quills at the moment to try and come up with the adjectives to describe this budget. Bonanza, you know, whatever you want to describe it. This is,
as the listener says, and they have the neck to call Sinn Féin populist.
Well, you see, what they've done and what they've managed to find a trick, and speaking purely politically here over the last couple of years, they've managed to find a way to out-shinner the shinners. Like, I spend more. I listen to poor Piers Doherty try and give his speech. He had nothing to give out about. The only thing he could give out about it was that, you know, didn't you make a mess of the shed and the in Leinster House and the security hut? So how can we have any confidence in your numbers here?
Is that not a relevant point?
It's a pretty weak point, Matt. If you're the main opposition spokesperson on finance and you're trying to attack a budget, if that's, because ultimately that wasn't government spending, that was down to the OPW and it was up to kind of an agency, an arm of the state. It wasn't central government.
Okay, so was this the unofficial start of the general election today, that there still has to be a finance bill to be got through? I believe that's been accelerated, fast-tracked, yeah, brought up, which is setting the stage for the dissolution of the Dáil sometime this month and an election either the 15th or 22nd of November.
The choreography, I mean, since that timetable was set out to me earlier this year, I find it very hard to think beyond that or look beyond that. Don't listen to what they're saying. Look at what they're doing. They're prepping for an election. They're prepping to go early. All the posters are, as yourself and Ivan have repeatedly talked about, the posters are printed and done and all the rest of it.
No, the photographs were only taken last week. The printing's been done this week, by Finnegal.
So, like, they're ready. You know, conventions are all but done, by and large. You know, you'll start seeing a whole raft of people added to tickets in the next week or two. It's game
on. But will this buy votes? I know that I've heard it said as well that apparently about 50% of voters only make up their mind during the election campaign when it formally starts. Maybe that might be a bit different this year if we have this unofficial run-in started by the budget. Have they thrown enough money at the voters to influence their voting decisions?
Only time will tell, but I'm writing on politics for 18 years and I've never seen a government win off the back of a giveaway budget.
They've never given away as much as this, though, Ian. Have they, at a time when you told us yesterday about the fact that inflation is down to near zero?
Inflation is down to 0.2%. We now have energy prices coming down. We have food prices unchanged. So that is the good news. has that been reflected in what people are paying at the tills or when they go to spend money? No, not yet. But for people out there who are seeing real wage increases, they are able to afford this. The issue is...
Those who are, because it's not evenly spread, the real wage increases, is it? There are some sectors where people are struggling and others like the tech and pharma where perhaps they're getting bigger pay increases.
Yeah, but that is why you should be tailoring these cost of living measures. There are people out there who won't be able to afford their energy bills. We do know there are still thousands of people in arrears with their energy bills over the last number of years and that they haven't been cut off because there's a moratorium. They're the people who need the help, not the people in double income households where there are two people working in very good jobs and receiving pay increases and bonuses because there are sectors doing very well.
So Danny, could this be good politics but bad economics in that it's not fair maybe perhaps to give everybody the same thing economically, but politically you keep everybody happy because you know what people are like, if they see only some people getting a benefit that they're not getting, then they get very angry with the government.
They do, and I think this is again from a political perspective we've seen in successive budgets, you know, the ability to try and give a little bit to everybody. The criticism in previous budgets is that they, when they didn't have as much money, is that they spread the benefit too thinly, so no one really felt anything. Now, like, I mean, if you're a family with young kids, you're going to definitely feel the benefit of this budget without question. I think there's lots in there for you. The hospitality, I think, will feel rightly aggrieved. I don't think there's enough there for them.
Sorry, this is because the VAT rate remains at 13.5%, yeah, despite figured, their intensive
they
lobbying.
They still haven't figured out a way to separate your pub or your cafe or your hairdresser from your multi-billion euro chain of hotels who are...
There's only really one chain hotels making profits in Ireland, so this idea that all hotels are gouging is a bit of a nonsense.
No, I'm not saying it's... I'm not saying... But there is, like, the argument that comes back from the department is that you can't separate the big guys from the little guys. I think it's...
We give it to everybody, because we're giving it to everybody on everything else. So let's help the hospitality industry who create thousands of jobs and in parts of the country where other employment is very hard to come by.
Nancy, I just want to go back to you because you're a tax expert. We've been told for years now at this stage that the corporation tax receipts are a windfall and that they may not continue. But the more they continue, aren't people entitled to say, why do you keep getting worried that they're not going to continue?
Yeah, look, it's a difficult one, right? But I suppose when you look at where the corporation tax receipts come from, we know the concentration that they come from 10 companies broadly. Those companies might change. And we know that they are broadly multinational entities and foreign direct investment. And we look ahead and we look to the future and we look at the issues that we face and obviously were raised today around infrastructure. I think it's fair to say that there could be questions in relation to that.
Well, indeed, Pfizer would be one of those big 10. And in the last hour, it's announced 215 further redundancies across its three plants in Ireland, which I suppose is an indication that you can't necessarily take these things for granted, Ian.
I'm holding my iPhone in my hands and there's a lot of people out there who in government will be hoping that the iPhone 16 launch goes down very well, because we know Apple are the biggest corporation taxpayer in the country. They've said that themselves. That reliance on corporation tax receipts, 60% of all corporation tax receipts, which this year, if you exclude the Apple money, will total somewhere in the region of 24, 25 billion euro, are paid by just a small number of companies, a handful. If they have a bad year profit-wise, we suffer, never mind all the changes to the global tax regime.
In the next hour, we have Pascal Donoghue, Jack Chambers, Louise O'Reilly, Rodrigo Gorman. So last word, politically, synopsis from you, Daniel McConnell, that what do you believe this budget will deliver?
Okay, budget will deliver an awful lot for a lot of people, won't deliver enough for other groups of people, particularly in the hospitality sector. This is without question a giveaway budget or a budget aimed at a general election. You've talked about the 15th of November, that date, or the 22nd, I think, are the 2 days. Again, it's what they do, not what they say. The expediting of the finance bill is a clear indication that we're game on for an election before Christmas.
Thank you very much, Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.